WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano.
We will not live on our knees, and you shouldn't either.
Former FBI Director James Comey, in a video reacting to his indictment on charges of lying to Congress and obstructing justice during Senate testimony 5 years ago. Comey asserted his innocence and said there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump. Correspondent Scott McFarlane reports the indictments followed Trump's public call on the Justice Department to take action on Comey.
This is going to unleash some scorching criticism of the Department of Justice for shattering a number of norms and protocols. The president, in so many words, urged a prosecution of James Comey less than a week ago. The prosecutor in charge of the investigation was ousted. A Trump White House aide was put in charge, and days later, she's the one signing the charging documents submitted to the court.
Comey will appear in federal court October 9. Bryson DeChambeau will lead off in foursomes for the Americans at the Ryder Cup in New York today. The White House says President Trump will attend. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has summoned hundreds of U.S. generals from around the world to come to Virginia this week. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
General Westcloth says a meeting on such short notice and of this size is rare.
800, 900 generals and admirals, just a lot of people.
But President Vance doesn't agree.
It's not particularly unusual that generals who report to the Secretary of War and then to the President of the United States are coming to speak with the Secretary of War.
And President Trump doesn't think it's a big deal either.
The fact that we're getting along with the generals and admirals from all, remember, I'm the President of Peace.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will open today's session of the UN General Assembly. Middle East analyst Aaron David Miller says Netanyahu has the wind at his back from the European Union.
The EU is Israel's largest trading partner. They've chosen to stay away from sanctions. They haven't suspended the Israeli-EU Trade Association Agreement. They haven't canceled the Free Trade Accord. They've virtue signaled.
Amazon has reached a $2.5 billion settlement with the Federal Trade Commission, which said Amazon tricked customers into signing up for Prime memberships and then made it difficult to cancel. CBS's Kelly O'Grady says $1.5 billion of that settlement will go to affected consumers.
There is going to be a third party that Amazon is required to pay. That's actually a part of the suit settlement. And that third party will oversee the distribution of money. It's likely going to be about $50, give or take.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
The Packers are bound for Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football at AT&T Stadium. I asked Packers running back Josh Jacobs, what will it be like running into defensive tackle Kenny Clark, traded to Dallas in that deal for Micah Parsons?
It's definitely going to be funny going against him because I know he's going to have a little chip on his shoulder, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to tell him like I always tell him, I like me. So whenever I get a chance to go against him, it's going to be fun after the game, but between them lines, I'm going to try to give him what I got.
Brewers baseball tonight, the crew hosts the Reds. Milwaukee with a chance to secure home field advantage in the playoffs thanks to the best record in the major leagues.
You know, the guys have done a really good job, been really focused, and we talk about all the time as far as, you know, what we need to do to win, what we like about what we did before, and what we need to continue to do going forward, what we get better at. You know, that's like a constant dialogue, and we can play the game and affect the outcomes.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low dropping into the mid-50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 55.
P. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr joins me with new music and fun conversation. And we'll have a special guest fast review of the new film, One Battle After Another.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, folks. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is the Christmas Eve of weekdays. You made it this far. I have every confidence you can make it through tomorrow. But we are here. We are almost there, folks. Almost to the weekend. And what a fun show I have for you guys tonight. I'm so glad you're here. Wherever you're joining me from over the state, it is great to have you. As you know, Nightlight is on statewide, so we get opinions from all over the Dairy State, and it is so much fun throughout the show to talk to all of you. So please be part of the show tonight as well. Got two great guests tonight. What should be a pretty fun question, if not uplifting, and some fun things to talk about. So we've got it all tonight, including our... this awesome contest, Conrad. You got it. I know you're not a contest guy, but... Oh, God. Now, every time you do that, I have to explain what we did a week ago.
I'm done, I swear. I'm done now.
I'm going to give you details tonight, folks. You're here on a great night, and every night will be like this through October 3rd because it's our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state contest. And I'm going to give you all the details and the keyword at 7 o'clock, or shortly after 7 o'clock. A lot of easy contests. All you have to do is have the Civic Media app. I'm going to give you the keyword. You text in the keyword on the app, and you are enrolled. You are eligible to win daily prizes of $200 or gold. And keep saying or. It's and. It's $200 and gold jewelry. And then if you play, you are automatically entered into the... grand finale drawing, the big grand prize. And you know what? I'm going to sit on that one too, Conrad. I'll tell you that after 7 o'clock, although if you're regular listeners, I think you know. But it involves a big-time game between the green and gold and...
the purple people eaters.
It's funny that you remember that, because that was like a nickname, I think was like from the 70s. I don't think I ever have heard that in the last 25, 30 years.
Well, you know... I only know because one of our Civic Media employees, or one of our coworkers, texted in that one night, and it was Chris Casper.
Oh, it was Casper, yeah.
Because he is a Purple People Eaters fan.
He is he goes for the purple and gold, not the green and gold.
Yeah.
But that is the grand prize, and that is a noon kickoff on November 23rd. And we're even giving you gas money to get to the game. So lots of fun, great contest. And more to come on that throughout the show. And the keyword coming up after, after intermission, after the news at 7 o'clock. We'll give you the keyword. And good luck, everybody. It's a fun contest. And not only that, folks, when you get confirmation back after you send in the keyword, if you click on any of the links, you have a heightened chance to win. Sign up for the Civic Media newsletter, Civic Media Today, Facebook. Do we have an Instagram account? I don't. Or I do, but I don't use it.
I have an Instagram account.
I know you.
It's
That's where you look for love. Or inheritance.
You caught me. Yeah, I get. Yeah, that's true.
But if you sign up or follow us on any of those, you have an extra chance to win during this awesome contest. So stay tuned for more details coming up in hour number two. My guest tonight, this is fun. I, you know, sometimes a guest just slips through the cracks. We have not had our guest at 6:35 on probably for, what, 9 months or so?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And he is Ben Chan, Jeopardy champ, Green Bay resident, maybe De Pere resident, Ben Chan. He's also a professor at St. Norbert's. He will be here in the studio to make this week's Popcorn Pick of the Week. We'll talk to Ben about how he watches movies, what kind of movies he likes. And I'm sure we'll get into Jeopardy a little bit. And I hope Ben can stick around because coming up in the second hour as well, guest-wise, our pal Norm Kopesky from Appleton Cigar. Norm is going to tell us about a really cool contest that is taking place at Appleton Cigar this weekend. And I don't want to spoil it, but we'll have some cigar talk and we'll talk about this contest and a lot of other stuff you can do if you check out Appleton Cigar. I'm going to ask them about their poker nights. I really am. If I didn't live an hour and a half from Appleton, I would totally go.
You should show him that picture of Kim Kardashian. See what he thinks.
Let's save that picture. That's a good one.
You know, it is also National One-Hit Wonder Day.
I know.
And I made a little quiz where you have to guess what that one-hit wonder is.
Should we do that with Ben, though?
Yeah, we could do it with Ben.
I'll tell you what. Give me a couple, and then Ben and I will do it when he's here, too.
So, I mean, what comes to mind when you think of one-hit wonders?
I mean, a one-hit wonder. Like, you know, Betty Davis Eyes, or we talked about that a little bit last night with some of these bands. I'll tell you a great song, a one-hit wonder, is the band, or the song Laid. The band is James. It was a huge hit in the 90s. Stuff like that. That's a one-hit wonder.
You know, we have a, I believe we have a one-hit wonder that we use pretty regularly for the bumpers.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
And it's you get what you give, right? Yeah, you get what you give.
What is that?
I can play it for a second if you want.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a total one-hit wonder. Yeah. I didn't even know the name of that song.
Yeah, it's you get what you give, and it's by the New Radicals.
The New Radicals. I did remember the band, because when I sent you that song, I was like, I remember the band, but I'm like, for the life of me, could not remember the name of the song.
It's such a good song, too.
Oh, it's a great tune. It's like an anthem, almost, for the 90s. Yeah, there's a ton of them. Laura Branigan,
and Gloria. I stick kind of towards the 90s, maybe went out of the 90s for like a couple songs, but mainly 90s and 80s.
Sweet. Well, you know what? Before we get too caught up in the one-hit wonders, let's do our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the saddest song ever written? Saddest song ever written. That is tonight's question of the night. I don't even know what inspired this. But I'm curious as to what you guys come up with. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what you think the saddest song is. Sometimes they're great to listen to. Sometimes you just want to be sad. And instead of trying to cheer yourself up fraudulently, you crank on a sad song and you just embrace it and you're sad.
And you belt it to the moon.
And you belt it to the moon. Yeah, absolutely. All by myself. Who hasn't belted that out? I did think about this. I can't remember what I said on social media. What was your, God, I can't believe I just asked you. Well,
yes. All right. Well, do you want me to play the clip right away? Cause
you could play your saddest song. Well, let's get that out of the way. Cause it's going to be in people's heads all night.
You know, I'm a regular How I Met Your Mother watcher.
Yes.
And one of the saddest songs I've ever heard is it's called Cat Funeral.
Let's hear 20 seconds tops, 30 seconds tops.
Let me set it up a little bit.
No one could ever follow this.
Marshall Erickson, he's Jason Segel in How I Met Your Mother. And in one of the episodes, he goes through a phase where he likes to make photo montages and sing to the photo montage. And it's just hilarious.
Cat's sitting for Lily's mom. Cat's sitting for Lily's mom. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna bring us all closer together.
that's enough. And not entirely my fault. That's sad in a funny
way. It's pretty sad.
Really? Did that make you tear up when you were watching a sitcom?
You know, the photo montages, he's cat sitting for the mom, and he leaves the window open in his, you know, his third story apartment, and the cat jumps out the window.
Yeah, funny, not sad. I don't think you grasp
But then they have the funeral in the apartment, and they have the little cat's casket in front of the window. The cat jumped out of. Okay.
That's quite enough. So I'm gonna go first. My saddest song, and it's not. I'm probably not gonna be on an island here. Is Danny Boy. Terribly sad song, but in a beautiful way, kind of a father son song, an Ireland who just had so much tragedy over the years. Song. It's just great. And I tear up every time I hear it. Almost no matter, even if a bad singer is singing Danny Boy, I will be brought to tears. So that's my saddest song. But I have others. I had a couple runner-ups, too. Cats in the Cradle. Sam Stone from John Prine. Very sad. Sam Stone is so sad. It's just like a soliloquy. I don't even really like, it's not nearly my favorite John Prine song. But it's very sad. About a guy who comes home from Vietnam and gets hooked on smack. Auld Lang Syne is kind of sad, but in a good way. It's just a beautiful song about unrequited or first loves reuniting in a grocery store. Great song. Tears in Heaven. And I went online and looked for this because Tears in Heaven is often called the saddest song ever. If Eric Clapton wasn't such a butt munch, I would probably maybe have put that like number two. This is a very sad song. Do you know that story, Conrad?
I don't.
Eric Clapton, his son fell out a window in New York City, like 30 floors up. Somebody left the window open. You know, Eric Clapton, and I don't want to judge him because accidents can happen. I don't think he was even there. He's probably off touring, but the housekeeper or the nanny left the window open and the kid died. So Eric Clapton wrote Tears in Heaven, a horribly sad song. But a good song. I mean, Eric Clapton's great. Anyway. Those are my runner-ups, and my favorite is Danny Boy. We've heard from Conrad, the cat, whatever.
Cat Funeral.
So what do you guys think? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what you think the saddest song ever is. We'll have some fun with this one today. It is National Daughters Day. So I would like to give a shout-out to my beautiful daughter, Kate. Happy National Daughters Day. If you have a national daughter, you can wish her a happy day on the text line as well. And this is exciting, Conrad. We have, I don't know if you knew this. This is Kristen Lyerly was on the show the other night.
Correct.
On the social media, the Facebook, I like to call it.
Yeah.
She said, would it be weird? Like, you know what? I got to find out. How did she say this? We'll look it up. Something to the effect that she wants to be the official nightlight gynecologist. And I think it's high time we had one.
Yeah, I think so, too.
We've been on the air almost 2 years. We've never had an official gynecologist. You and I most likely are never going to need one. However, you never know. I love that she volunteered her services. She's kind of stretched thin anyway. She has her own show on the weekend here called the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. She's on, like, all these gynecological and medical boards. But she wants to be the nightlight... you know, official nightlight gynecologist, and I think it's high time we had. We got a call?
Yes.
Do we have time to take a call? Let's try
Ollie
to get
from
this
the Northwoods.
Oh, fantastic. Ollie, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in. Except I might start crying now with these sad songs.
I know.
My one song that always makes me cry is Fearing Cap.
Oh, wow.
My dad was in the Army for 22 and a half years, so...
Jeez.
That's always a sad song. And then I have another song...
Hey, Ollie, hold that thought. We got to do a really quick break, and I don't want to cut you off, so we're going to do a fast break. We'll come back and get your other song, okay?
Okay.
All right, my friend, we're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Ollie, phone call, part two, coming up next.
Mama, I really want to know you. I really want to go with
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
A small conversation can make a big difference. Asking someone if they're okay is important. And during the Suicide Prevention Month, check in. And remember, 988 is always open. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Trust in me. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Christmas Eve of weeknights. It is a Thursday edition, folks. We are asking, what is the saddest song you've ever heard? That is tonight's question of the night. I'm going to give you contest information coming up in hour number two. You're not going to want to miss that. It's our multi-state Go for the Green and Gold text to win contest. More details coming up after the news at 7 o'clock. And how's that new tower in Milwaukee doing? 100.3. If you're in the Milwaukee area, WAUK, we're on the FM signal there, and it's outstanding, apparently.
That's what I'm hearing.
I heard good things. So I had nothing to do with it. Well, yeah. Corey Hartman, yeah. Casper, and Drew, and all the Eric, you know.
You didn't bring your tools out there?
No. I own like a hammer, and that's it. So we're in the middle of a phone call with Ollie from the Northwoods. So let's get back. Ollie said Taps was a very sad song for her. And what else do you say, Ollie?
This other song is an old song. I remember listening to it when I was a kid. And there's, I think it's a newer version that Elvis Presley sang, and it's called Old Shep.
Yeah.
And it's about his dog. And everybody should listen to that.
That is a sad one. Well, I haven't heard that in years. I remember that's a very sad song. So. Those are outstanding choices, Ollie. As always, I expect nothing less. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening.
You too. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks. We got great social media responses to the our question of the night, too. Ben Chan, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be here in about 10 minutes. Jeopardy champ, St. Norbert professor Ben Chan will be here in the studio. Very much looking forward to having Ben back on the show. And then Norm Kopesky at 7:35. He is going to bring sticks for all. You know what a stick is, Conrad?
One of those cigar things.
That's damn right. Remember we had Hank and Herschel in here?
Yeah.
I never heard that term before, so I'm going to ask Norm. But Norm will be here at 7:35. Our question of the night, what is the saddest song ever written? Please feel free to share, folks, and we will read your text on the radio if you're listening on the stream or watching the radio on the stream at X, Facebook, or YouTube. You could drop us a stream comment there and give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined. And the best way to text also, I don't know if it's the best way. It's a good way. It's a good option. The app. You got to have the app anyway to play the contest. So on social media, Rich, our pal Rich Tellerico says, Blind Man in the Bleachers. That was like a really cheesy 70s song, but it was about a guy who loses his dad, and his dad was blind and could never see him play sports. It was a very sad song. But I don't know if I heard that now. I might think it's cheesy. I shouldn't say it's cheesy, because when I was a kid, it really affected me. Obviously, Rich, too. Thank you, buddy. Danny Wheels says, Let Down by Radiohead, the song paired with the end scene of The Bear Season 1. Give a look. Thank you, Dan. I said, Danny Boy, Tom Clark, a very funny Tom Clark, Milwaukee native son, says, Tangerine by Led Zeppelin. Great choice, Tom. When was Tom on the show?
He was on, I believe he was on for a popcorn pick.
Was he?
Yeah.
Alan Weipert says, Alone Again, Naturally. Yes, great choice, Alan. What else we got? Oh, Vince Moranto. Vince's response last night on the text for the Springsteen song was outstanding. Really did his homework. And he says today, I tear up when I hear Mr. Bojangles, probably because I drinks a bit. Thank you, Vince. Vince, by the way, is making the popcorn pick next week, Conrad. Mark that in your calendar. That'll be fun. Our pal Eric Rathsack, the front man for Ask Your Mother, says he stopped loving her today. George Jones. Yeah, that's a sad one, too. Oh, my pal Matt Hansen. From the Marinette School District, Conrad, we rarely hear from the Marinette School District. Actually, scratch that. He is no longer with the Marinette School District.
Okay.
I think he's with the Lena. He's just a school district kind of guy. Okay. Matt Hansen says, Teddy Bear, Red Solvine. That song. Matt, great to hear from you, though. Please continue to text on a nightly basis. Happy to read them. Boris Hamilton, our pal on very funny Boris Hamilton, says, Operator, Jim Croce, that's a great choice. But that's not the way it feels. And Wildfire, Michael Martin Murphy. I've heard that song my whole life. I don't even know what Wildfire is about. But The Simpsons made fun of it once. I've never really listened to the lyrics. I will now. Thank you, Boris. Tony Zimmerman, Civic Media's own. Leonard Cohen, Famous Blue Raincoat. I don't know. Well, you know what? That's one of those songs I might know. You put a YouTube link. Can you pull that?
Yeah.
At least we could do. Thank you, Tony. And then we'll get to the text line here. Ben Chan coming up in just a few minutes. We got to do a thing on Nepo Babies. This Steven Spielberg's son, Sawyer Spielberg. Here's the deal. I don't hold anything. Like, acting is acting, music, whatever. You're a Nepo baby, that's fine. But I cannot stand when the Nepo babies say, well, if anything, my last name worked against me. Uh-huh. Sure it did. Just not true. Ridiculous. Although I do applaud people like Nicolas Cage, who his actual last name was Coppola, but he changed it. I admire that. I think people probably still knew who he was. Anyway, we'll get to that. I'm going to do a whole Nepo baby segment, folks. I don't want to miss that. Popping over to the stream, Daniel Berry sports highlights. Happy Thursday. Hey, everyone. Hey, Daniel. Happy Thursday to you as well. Dave on the stream says, Wind Beneath My Wings. That's a sad one. Absolutely. What do you like, Dave? The Bette Midler version or the Lou Rawls version? I like the Lou Rawls version. Dave also says, Brian's song. I know that's a movie. I didn't know the song. Sydney Frankenstein says, Frankenstein, I should say. I just did the Young Frankenstein pronunciation. It's Frankenstein. Sydney says, Putting the Dog to Sleep by the Antlers. I don't know that one, but thank you, Sydney. Sydney says, also, I think. Sydney says, Have you ever seen The Rain by CCR? Creedence Clearwater Revival, underrated sad song. Yes. Another great one, Sydney. Love CCR. And Dave Kunish verifying. Good one, Sid. That's kind of fun. When the textures talk to each other.
Yeah.
I love that. We're all friends. Hey, when we come back, Jeopardy champ Ben Chan will be here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I wanna cry.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. 97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey says he's innocent of the federal charges he's now facing of lying to Congress and obstructing justice. CBS's Erica Brown has the Attorney General's statement.
Attorney General Bondi issued a statement saying, quote, today's indictment reflects this Department of Justice's commitment to holding those who abuse positions of power accountable for misleading the American people.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has called hundreds of generals and admirals to come to Virginia next week. Retired General Wesley Clark offers a possible explanation.
He wants people to see him up close, look them in the eye, and assure them of his authority and demand their support.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will open today's session of the UN General Assembly. Middle East analyst Aaron David Miller on what he expects Netanyahu might say.
He's going to denounce leaders who, instead of denouncing Hamas, have essentially denounced the state of Israel.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Packers are bound for Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football at AT&T Stadium. I asked Packers running back Josh Jacobs, what will it be like running into defensive tackle Kenny Clark, traded to Dallas in that deal for Micah Parsons?
It's definitely going to be funny going against him because I know he's going to have a little chip on his shoulder, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to tell him like I always tell him, I like me. So whenever I get a chance to go against him, it's going to be fun after the game, but between them lines, I'm going to try to give him what I got.
Brewers baseball tonight, the crew hosts the Reds. Milwaukee with a chance to secure home field advantage in the playoffs thanks to the best record in the major leagues.
You know, the guys have done a really good job, been really focused, and we talk about it all the time as far as, you know, what we need to do to win, what we like about what we did before, and what we need to continue to do going forward, what we get better at. You know, that's like a constant dialogue, and we can play the game and affect the outcomes.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Imagine you were part of a hit TV show, and the line from the show that fans quote when they see you involves yelling, no, no, in your face. That is what life has been like for former The Office showrunner Paul Lieberstein. The yelling is in reference to Lieberstein's character Toby, who returns to work, much to the dismay of his adversary, Michael Scott, played by Steve Carell, who shouts, no, no, in Toby's face. It's worth a Google. The writer-actor recently spoke at the Paley Museum about its new exhibit for The Office. During his appearance, Lieberstein mentioned the new spinoff, The Paper. He is one of the writers on the new show and said he would be open to appearing on the show as an actor if it made sense. At the moment, Oscar Nunez, who played Oscar, is the only cast member from The Office on The Paper. I've seen the pilot of The Paper, and here's my advice. Bring back all The Office characters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low dropping into the mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 55.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Todd Albaugh.
From the comments of former head coach of Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez, to the Brewers heading into the playoffs, there's a lot going on in Wisconsin sports. We'll discuss it with former Badger and NFL veteran Brady Ewing next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
How do you like those options? You'll either like it or you won't. Welcome back to Nightlight. This is exciting, folks. I'm very thrilled to welcome my next guest here to make the Popcorn Pick of the Week. When it comes to appearing on Jeopardy and also being a professor at Lawrence University, this guy is top-notch and an absolute rock star. Mr. Ben Chan, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pete. Always nice to be here. I think I was banging on the window about a year ago, and I was like, oh, wait.
Were you doing a bar crawl or something? Yeah.
You're in here, and just like, I'm on the air right now, dude.
That's right. I forgot about that. So you, well, we'll talk about the Jeopardy stuff. We'll talk about your new position at Lawrence. That's exciting. But how are you in general? How are you doing in this thing called life? Things good?
Yeah, things are really good. It's a transition. It's been kind of a transition. After my last Jeopardy appearance, I'm kind of out of the immediate central Jeopardy pool.
Okay.
And also my job was transitioning at the same time this past, 6 months. Life is all about transition.
Absolutely.
I think, right?
I'm not even smart enough to know what the central pool of Jeopardy is, so we'll talk about that too.
It's too complicated.
After
really.
We do the popcorn pick, so let's jump in. Let's talk movies. What,
yeah.
Ben Chan? You're obviously an incredibly bright guy. Jeopardy or not, you're a college professor. You're well schooled. You've impressed us on a national level on a game show. What kind of movies do you?
I like a lot of movies. I think Roger Ebert had a really good attitude about this, right? That he would review movies on their own terms, right?
So,
There are a lot of genres that he probably wasn't a fan of, but if he would try to judge whether the director accomplished what they were trying to accomplish, right?
Interesting, yeah.
And so I think I'm the same way. There's genres I enjoy more, genres I enjoy less, but I like to have a wide exposure to things. But the things I really love, there are movies that can really change your perspective in ways that not many art forms can do. Of the popular recent movies, I think Parasite was like that. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Parasites. I think Parasite's given like a framework for millions, like changed people's framework of thinking about power and income. It's a very powerful kind of metaphor and very powerful narrative structure that has like global implications in terms of how people cope with.
Absolutely. Yeah. And did well at the Oscars too. Right. I mean, it was very well recognized. That's a great answer. And I expect nothing less than a well thought out answer from someone like you, Ben. So do you prefer to go? So basically you don't stick to typically one genre you like, and I'm the same way. I'm not really a horror guy. That doesn't mean I don't really enjoy an occasional really well done horror movie at times, if that makes sense.
Yeah. My wife is really into horror and she's gotten me into it, which I'm glad for, because I think I wouldn't, there's so many choices, right? So it's hard to take that step on your own if it's something you aren't drawn to naturally. But it's opened my eyes to things, right? Because it, horror, I think, deeply kind of Freudian generally, right?
And
kind of is a working out of our, personal or cultural deep fears in a way that often we don't get to raise in kind of polite conversation.
Right. Do you have, did you see Weapons?
Oh yeah, I did see Weapons. I think that's the last thing I saw in the theater.
Yeah, that same here. I enjoyed it. Again, not a horror guy, but really solid movie. I really liked it. All right. So how do you like to watch movies, Ben? Are you a theater goer? Do you like the comfort of your own home?
I would prefer the theater, but probably the ratio is 9-1 home to theater.
Yeah.
And I think I went to grad school at UCLA in Los Angeles, and sometimes people ask me like, oh, do you miss things about Los Angeles? And there are a couple of things I miss, but the number one thing that comes to mind is that they still have a lot of beautiful single screen theaters.
Yeah.
And they do you know, nice restored prints, and because it's a film town, you'll go to like a Saturday revival of Meet Me in St. Louis, and the theater will be full at 10 a.m. and you might be sitting next to like Jason Siegel, and you know, it's a bunch of film editors.
Yeah.
And they're super, you know, they're great audiences. They're super appreciative. And then sometimes you might get, you know, somebody who did the casting for a 1960 show be in the audience and do Q&A after.
Right.
That's really,
I'm totally special. With you. One of my best experiences, or when my wife and kids would leaving back to the Midwest and I was out there alone, I would take full advantage in terms of going to movies. Like, and I remember specifically, I saw Mission Impossible 3, I think it was 9 a.m. at a Hollywood theater. I get coffee. I saw Collateral in the morning. I saw South Park with my buddy Mike Siegel. Yeah, you can see anything almost any time of day. And that is something I do
in
miss
a full
about
theater,
LA.
Too, right?
In the full theater, right? Yeah.
Or, you know, and it's nice to watch with other people.
Absolutely. All right. So, what is your favorite snack? Let's say you're in the theater. What kind of snacks do you go for?
Ooh, I like everything, you know. Usually money is the impediment. It's like these prices.
Oh, it's insane.
But that's a good question. I mean, I guess the first thing that pops to mind is, you know, pretzel bites. Pretzel bites with some nacho cheese.
With some cheese? Oh, man. I wish I didn't like that.
Right?
It's so bad. And nachos, too. Like, that cheese is what it is. If they would just, like, sprinkle shredded cheese on there and heat it up, it'd be different. Good, but right? I don't know what the hell I'm eating when I'm eating nacho cheese. But it does
taste good. I wish that I had more. You know, I'm a big caramel corn fan, right?
So
I'm kind of surprised that more theaters don't have that. Actually, that's one of the things the Arclight Theater in L.A. was famous for. They had, like, fresh-made caramel corn.
I love that you know these L.A. theaters. Yeah, that's where I saw Collateral, was at the Arclight. I don't think it's open anymore. Or was it the Cinerama?
I think Cinerama.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a great... all right, so you're not fussy when it comes to snacks. What about at home? Do you watch it? Do you make different snacks when you're at home?
We used to make popcorn. One of the things, if any listeners have tips on... dealing with two dogs in the house who are resource guarding and getting into arguments about that. So we can't have snacks on the couch anymore because they might have a disagreement about who gets to be closer to the human snacks. But at home, that's been one of the things I talked about. I've been attending to a lot of deferred maintenance. Some of it is home projects. Some of it is my body. I think I put on 20 pounds. During my Jeopardy life, and so I've been trying to avoid the movie snacks at home.
Do it other ways, Ben. have a movie snack, but if you do figure it out, let me know. I could drop a few pounds.
I'd say the go-to snack right now, if you go to one of the Asian markets in town, they have these things called jackfruit chips. Jackfruit's a tropical fruit, and it's like a pretty healthy thing, but it's delicious. It's like a sweet tropical fruit. There are only like three ingredients. Jackfruit,
I didn't know they came
salt.
In chip variety.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Interesting.
Yeah, you should look for jackfruit chips.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay. What about, all right, let's talk about this. I know you like to enjoy a cocktail every once in a while. What do you have? Have you ever snuck booze into a theater or what do you make when you're at home?
I probably have snuck booze into a theater when I was younger. It's been a big development that now Marcus Theaters sells booze, which is nice. So I can, and it's actually, that's the most reasonably priced item at the concession stand.
Is booze.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's under $10 for like a tall boy or whatnot.
So if you want a box of Goobers, it's $12. Yeah, if you want a drink, it's $9. Yeah, that's pretty, okay.
I'd like to, Greg Marcus seems cool. I want to meet Greg Marcus. That's on my bucket
list.
Don't
you run in those circles now? He's a celebrity.
I got to put it out there.
Let's use this as a platform. Conrad, take a memo. We got to get Ben in touch with Greg Marcus.
Doesn't he seem like he seems like a real nice guy.
He's like a swell guy. Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen his Instagram. He's doing Instagrams with, you know, his employees. And it seems not forced.
Seems genuine. Yeah all right. All right, so what about at home? What do you make? Do you have a favorite cocktail or something?
It kind of changes. I think the first thing that pops to mind, a martini. Yeah. Nice gin, classic gin martini.
You go gin, not the vodka. Huh?
Yeah, I like, you know, okay. I like that. A lot of people I know don't like the, you know, the, what is that? Juniper
the gin. Vermouth? Right? Okay.
But I like it.
Yeah,
I like both things, the vermouth and the gin.
You're saying that defensively, and I don't mean to make you defensive about your cocktail of choice. Ben Shannon's here, folks. He is a Jeopardy champ and also a professor at Lawrence University. He's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Norm Kopesky is coming by at 7:35 for some cigar talk and a talk about a really cool contest they're having at Appleton Cigar this weekend. And stick around, because after the news in hour number two, I'm going to give you the keyword for our Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Our multi-state text to win contest, keyword coming up after the news in hour number two. But for now, we are inching eerily close to Jeopardy champ Ben Chan's popcorn pick of the week. So how do you feel about previews when you're in the theater? You like them?
Oh,
this is such a divider.
No, they're just, I guess I could go, there are two, my main complaint is many of the previews are bad now.
Yeah.
Like trailers are, they give away too much.
I totally agree.
Like the art of the, what?
And that's an art too. Cutting a good trailer without giving too much away. It's an art form. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the trailers, there's some good trailers, but most of the trailers are just trash. Right. Who's making, it's very surprising that trailers are so bad.
All right. One more question for you, Ben. People are being loud nearby. You and your wife are there trying to enjoy yourselves. What do you do? You confront them? Do you shush them? Do you give them the stare? Do you get security? What's the deal?
We probably go at times where it's not that busy anymore. We typically go like Saturday afternoons. And so maybe the main thing would be the only loud people we run into are, you know, 7-year-olds. And so.
What kind of movies do you go? Does your wife ever get out of line? Do you ever have to shush your wife in a movie?
No. I mean, I think that the main tension is at home, right? Where sometimes we'll be watching a movie and then she'll look at her phone and be like, I thought we were watching a movie together.
Oh, that drives me bananas.
And then I, you know.
But the worst thing is when someone looks at their phone, my kids used to do this. Wait, what did he say? I'm not telling you. Sorry, put the phone down.
She doesn't do that.
All right, that's good. All right, Conrad, I think we are ready for Mr. Ben Chan's popcorn pick of the week. Conrad, if you please. All right, Ben, the kidding around is pretty much over. What is the popcorn pick of the week?
It's tough. Can I give two?
Yeah.
All right. So there are two. They're streaming. They're both classic movies. It can be streaming, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Any movie. There are no rules.
So one that came to mind recently, actually, this is something I saw. It's an old movie, The Red Shoes. I think it's 1948.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that.
It's a ballet. Oh, Red Shoes. Yeah. That's one of the great, I don't know, it's 50 movies of all time.
Yeah. Okay.
It's actually, the reason it came back to my attention, Ken Jennings, it was one of his 5 picks. But it's one of my favorite movies. I saw it a few times, but one time I saw it at a special screening at the Smithsonian in D.C. And the editor, who was married to one of Powell and Pressburger, I forget which one, and I forget her name, she's Martin Scorsese's editor. So she's won a couple of Oscars. But she was in attendance. She gave a little talk before the screening, and she said, Powell and Pressburger, they're coming out of World War II, and they'd been told that there's so many things worth dying for, democracy, Great Britain, whatever.
Wow.
And they wanted to make a film that showed that art was worth dying for.
That is so cool.
So yeah, The Red Shoes, I think it's on HBO
Max. The Red
Max.
Shoes on HBO Max.
Maybe I'll stick with that one.
And it's got a 98%. So we're going to do a really quick break. Then we're going to come back and get pick number two. You're getting 2 picks. Didn't this happen a couple weeks ago? Somebody gave 2 picks. That's even better. Get more referrals.
Definitely.
So, okay, Ben Chan is here, folks. Jeopardy champ. We are coming right back to get his second popcorn pick of the week. We'll talk about Jeopardy. We'll talk about one-hit wonders sad songs, right? We'll do sad songs.
I have a pick for that, yeah.
All right, sweet. It's Peach Bob and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a gospel kind of feeling, a touch of Georgia slide, a song of you.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Looking to give back to your community? Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org to find volunteer opportunities near you. Join us in celebrating United Ways Month by getting involved. Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org or contact your local United Way today. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, pets, imaginary friends, take a listen down memory lane and spread the 411 with 97.5 FM WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. If it was released from 1990 to 1999, we will play it Sunday nights 8 to 9. Send me your requests with your beeper, or maybe DM me on the socials, or email me james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Sunday nights 8 to 9 on WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. Booyah!
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this beautiful Thursday night. Here we're coming to you live from downtown Green Bay, broadcasting statewide on a popcorn pick Thursday night. Folks, in just a few minutes after the news at the top of the hour, we're going to dig into the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, our multi-state Text to Win contest here at Civic Media. Great prizes. I'm going to give you more details after the news, and then I'll give you the keyword as well. So make sure you don't go anywhere. Right now, my guest in studio here is celebrity champ Ben Chan. And I'm not just saying celebrity champ. You're like, aren't you like the third highest grossing person ever on Jeopardy or something like that?
No. Like in the regular, when I left, I was the 16th highest in the regular season. But that's pretty good.
It's really good because Conrad went on that show about 10 years ago. How'd you do about it?
Yeah, I was 16.
16th from the bottom, right above me. All right, Ben is here. He just made the popcorn pick of the week. He's got two of them. We heard his first choice was the red shoes from 1948. I'm putting that one on my list. And then you had another one. Ben, tell us what your other popcorn pick of the week is.
This has shaped. I'm a big foodie, actually, despite maybe. That's my number one passion.
You're a medium-sized foodie. I wouldn't call yourself ripping on your health earlier. I don't think that was warranted.
So one of these movies that really shaped my culinary sensibility, I think it's the best food movie. There are a lot of good food movies, but it's a Japanese movie. It's also an HBO Max. It's called Tampopo, T-A-M-P-O-P-O. It's from the 80s. The genre is a Western. It's a ramen Western. It has like the trappings of a Western.
As opposed to a spaghetti.
It's quite funny.
Oh, wow.
And the main, it's kind of Altman-esque in that it has many different interlocking threads
okay.
and vignettes. But the main plot line is a young mother, single mother, who's trying to open a ramen shop, and her son is being bullied. She's not very good at making ramen, and then a trucker happens to roll into town.
Wow.
Who's a ramen expert and helps both her and her son get you know, her son at school and her with the ramen shop.
I know some stuff about movies, but mostly I'm just a fan. And you just named two films that I have not seen that I can add to my list. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
Great choices. Ben Chan, his choices are Red Shoes and Tampopo.
I guess it means dandelion in Japanese.
Tampa police officers. Tampopo. Okay.
Tampopo. Yeah.
Ben, is great to have you here. Let's talk. So what is the latest? I know you made a return appearance on Jeopardy. For those that don't know, a couple years ago, Ben had like an incredible run. And here's what I love about your Jeopardy run. It was packed with drama because you went, I was reading about this. You went up, then you lost big, then you came back and cleaned house. So you had that drama.
Oh, right.
Then you forgot about your Jeopardy greatness. And then you couldn't play because of COVID and you had to get back in the game and you went on a run again. It's like you've had a really cool run.
Yeah. It was very eventful. Yeah. It's more eventful than most runs on Jeopardy.
So, all right. So, well, yeah, obviously if you're like 16, that's incredible. So what, do you have a favorite memory coming out of that whole experience? You've had time to reflect on it now.
There are so many. Actually, it's filled with good memories. I think, you know, it's hard to beat the first win.
Yeah,
right? Because that opens up everything. I mean, I think that's the you know, I don't know. That was my biggest fear because I knew I was pretty well prepared. I knew I could, you know, make some noise, but that it's hard to get the first one because you're playing against somebody who's already played. They're probably pretty good.
Interesting.
In the subsequent games, you have an advantage because you're not playing against somebody who's played before, and they're also random.
Yeah.
Whereas in your first game, you're guaranteed to play a non-random person, namely somebody who's won.
Right. Wow, that's interesting. And then I would imagine your first time, too, is when your nerves are at peak, or is it when you get close to setting some kind of milestone? Like, how did you deal with that?
Definitely the first time. And then after that, you know, the thing about it's like, you know, if you've been in show business or whatever, it's a well-oiled machine, right? So it's like, yeah, I've got 10 minutes till the next show, and so you don't have time to think about what's happening.
You have to have... And I'm just saying this, I'm guesstimating, but or making a presumption, but you have to, A, be really smart, but B, be able to answer these questions quickly on the spot on national TV. So for people that can do that, you maybe played people that were smarter than you, but they couldn't handle the pressure of thinking quickly on TV, maybe?
Yeah, I had the advantage of, I played fake practice games with people, so you get into that rhythm, you know, I think, you know, good. People, it's hard to do that if you're not in the groove, right? It's like, you know, ring rust or whatever. Like, you have to be in that mindset and have the right threshold for guessing or buzzing in when you're not sure you know it because you are confident enough that it'll come in time. And then if you're not in that groove, you're going to be either too hesitant or too aggressive.
That's so cool. Can we keep you past the news? Can you do another segment on this? We'll do a little, Conrad put together a one-hit wonder sort of thing. We could square off. I know, you know.
Oh, no.
I would love to find. That's your weakest
one? That's my
what?
Weakest. Oh, music, pop music.
Bring it. Weakest. All right. Ben, we found a chink in the armor. Ben just admitted his weakness on the air. So, folks, we're going to come back. He's going to do another segment with us. I'm going to give you all the info on the Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, our multi-state contest. That is coming up next, and we've got Norm Kopesky here at 7:35 talking cigars and a really cool contest at Appleton Cigars. Peach Wabba and Nightlight, we're coming back for Act 2 after this. 7:47 and you lose yourself in the sky.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump's longtime nemesis James Comey is speaking out after he was indicted on two federal counts. The former FBI director posted a video to Instagram.
My heart is broken for the Department of Justice, but I have great confidence in the federal judicial system. And I'm innocent.
CBS's Erica Brown.
Comey was charged with one count of making false statements and one count of obstruction of justice. The indictment alleges Comey misled lawmakers on Capitol Hill during his 2020 testimony about the FBI's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. The five-year statute of limitations to bring charges was set to expire next week.
Get ready to pay more for another batch of imports. CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
President Trump says his administration will impose new tariffs on a range of items, including